mark our books at number 718. 718. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 331. 331. And after this song, Bill, would you lead us in prayer?
Thank you. Yes, I will.
Bill, yeah. Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love.
To have a hope of salvation in our lives. We ask you to
Watch over this little congregation. Help us to grow. Help us to be strong. Help us to do the work here in this place. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to live in the United States of America. To enjoy, Father, the freedoms that we have, the bounty that we have. Realizing, Father, there are many mistakes that have been made here, and Father, we pray that through your love, through your help, through your word, that we can somehow overcome these mistakes and help us to become a Christian nation once again. Thank you so much, Father, for the men and women that take care of the freedoms that we have. And, Father, we pray for them. Help them, Father, that they may be safe. And, Father, we pray for the families that you will comfort them.
Amen.
For the first responders that have such a job these days and have labored so long with this pandemic, Father, we pray for them. We ask you to give them strength and, Father, help them to be able to continue to do the job that they're doing. Father, we pray that you give us the knowledge that we can overcome this pandemic, that we can once again become a nation that is at peace with ourselves and within ourselves. And Father, we pray that those that are working on this will soon come to a solution of it. And Father, help us to have a serum that will cure us. Father, we pray for the election coming up. Father, we realize the shape that the nation can be in, the shape that it is in. Help us, Father, to take the best way that we can, that we know, and to turn it into something great. But we realize, Father, that the United States is the only nation in this world that is active in trying to teach your word. For the Christians that are here and those that are trying to do good, Father, we ask you to bless us, and Father, we pray that we may be able to continue on with our lives in such a way that we can live a life for you and to teach others about you. Amen. Father, we ask you to bless Brother Roberts. He bringing our lesson to us tonight. Help us, Father, to take it into our lives and to live it out in such a way that much good can come from it. In our lives, Father, we realize that we sin, we fall short. We ask you, Father, to strengthen us, help us to overcome our weaknesses, and Father, forgive us of our sins. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Our study this morning dealt mainly with the idea of the nature of God and the ideals of mankind responsible to him to carry out what he would have us to do and be. Tonight, we want to look at man's nature, but back toward God. What did God say in regard to his spirit and his nature to us today? And what we find out in the pages of the Bible is that again and again, God used the word gentle in order to describe his nature. In Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, based on the King James Version of the Bible, he notes that five times the word gentle is used in the scripture for us in this English Bible. That four times gentleness is used, and that twice gently is used. So these times that we have in reference to the word, we see are all positive in the nature of God. He looks forward to that and looks for us to be people who are speaking in words that are gentle to others. Through Solomon in Proverbs 15 verse 1, the word soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And soft in that passage of scripture is a word for gentle. Be gentle with words, gentle with voice, gentle in speaking to others. He tells us in regard to this matter, as we go to the New Testament of the Bible, all the way over in the book of Titus, in reference to how we're to be. And he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, and to be ready to every good work. In Titus 3, at verse 2, he says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all meekness to all men. For we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward mankind appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. The nature of God did not dismiss itself, and He didn't quit that way when mankind was acting in a violent, vile way. As He describes in verses 3 and 4, He says, we sometimes were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and we were people who were in divers lusts and pleasures, and living in malice and envy and hateful and hating others. He says, after this kindness of love of God appeared, we became convinced that that wasn't the way to continue in life, that wasn't the way to go in life, especially since God offered forgiveness for that behavior in life, and we could now have a relationship with Him in a gentle way, a practicing that gentle spirit as we talk with others and visit with others in life. Even back there in the Old Testament of the Bible, King David, whose son was very rebellious in these ways toward him, noticed that Absalom was also one who was foolish, disobedient, and deceived, and serving divers lusts and pleasures, and living in malice and envy and hatred, as well as hateful for his father. When he spoke regarding the capture of Absalom, he spoke this way in this way in 2 Samuel 13 at verse 5. He said, as you approach the young man, be gentle toward him. He says, for my sake. He loved him yet. He cared for him yet, as God loves us in sin and wrongdoing. But God turns his face away from us as we find ourselves entering into those ways of life. And so gentleness is a nature of God's way toward mankind. And He wants mankind to think of that way and that way for Him. The description of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has many expressions within it that are a part of this way of life, a way of gentleness in life. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in reference to this matter, we sometimes get caught up in the enjoyment of the description of love there. But notice the depth of what is said there regarding this. He says in verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly in her own way, but is not easily provoked to anger and to wrath. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Rejoiceth not in, beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. When we find ourselves doing what love describes, we're being gentle people to others, and gentle people in reference to God's nature itself. He says this is the kind of love that I'm talking about as he describes that love in 1 Corinthians 13. If we find ourselves a part of life in which we love only the physical side of life and only those ways that we're treated back with somebody, instead of converting someone to love as we would love the love of God and love the God demonstrated in our lives, we would find ourselves many times disappointed because our way of life is mixed in with the way that people know of us in days gone by. They knew of us in days gone by as vile and heinous and angered and all that relationship. They would never become convinced of us when we begin to talk about the love of God being this way as we're described here in 1 Corinthians 13. When we didn't suffer long and are kind, when we were not people that believe all things, hope all things, endure all things, and never fail them with the love that we have for them, then of course that's the nature of God, and that's the nature that He wants us to have and show. But how difficult it would be for others around us to see that that's the way of life that we actually are. When they beheld before us the anger, hatred, ways of life that we demonstrated. So we need to think about the way that our love shows and demonstrates itself. When we gave the example that Paul noted to Timothy this morning in 1 Timothy 4 at verse 12, and said, "Let no man despise thy youth," would be an example to the believer. Did you notice where love is in regard to that particular group of six things that he mentions there? It's in the very center, in the very middle. When we have a way of life of words and mannerisms of conversations, a way of life, then we find ourselves in charity and in spirit. We find ourselves linking up with the concept of agape, the love of God that we want to embrace and be a part of. And make that an example to others that when they come into contact with us, that's the tupas, they come into contact with us and want to be like it. They want to be like that when they see it demonstrated in our lives. And even as a young person, that's the way of life that he says that we ought to follow. No wonder in 2 Timothy 2, 24, 25, Paul write the brethren and say, "The servant of the Lord must not be divisive or strifeful." Creating strife. They told us back there in Proverbs 15 at 1 that a soft answer or gentle answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And so there are those who go about life stirring up anger, stirring up their idea of resistance, becoming people who are divisive in their ways and spirit. And that's not the way that we are the servants of the Lord are to be. The servant of the Lord ought not to be strifeful or divisive in his ways, but gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, being able to teach, being informed so that we can cite the passage of Scripture to them and show them where they can go in the Bible to find that. And numbers of times I've been asked by individuals about verses of Scripture, and I write them down on a piece of paper and pass them across the table in a kind way to them. I've heard some say to others afterwards that I didn't read it, I paid attention to it. But there were those who did pay attention to it, and they did like that spirit and that way of doing things. And when I did that, write down that verse of Scripture and pass it to them and let me know what you think about it when you read this, then there were those who were converted as a result of that. Some were not. They were divisive people, and they were asking for a question just to see if I could give them a verse of Scripture on that subject. But my verse of Scripture was within context. My verse of Scripture was within the confines of the application of it. And thus, in the application of that, Paul or Peter or James or John were expecting people to behave that way that they were writing. They expect them to behave that way because that's God's way that He wants us to live and do. And so when he says that in 2 Timothy 2, 24, "Serve the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach," and then patient. Patient with it. Don't rush them up. Don't rush them into something of which they're not as familiar, and thus they can find themselves eventually really understanding it in depth and wonderful, and be ashamed of the way that they used to behave and misbehave in the presence of God as well as their fellow man. I've worked with some couples in life that had a wonderful relationship with one another until one of them decided that they would be violent and mean-spirited in their words and mannerisms to the other. And I've worked with some that when we recognize that that's what the Lord said of all men, that that would be a reference to a wife or a husband or to children. It would be reference to all men. All men. Be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient in meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves, he says in verse 25. Who are they really opposing? They're really opposing themselves. Opposing all the hope that they could have, all the peace that they could have in God as they live here upon this earth, and all of the comforts of eternal life that would be displayed to them hereafter. Gentleness is the nature of God's way that he wanted to teach people, Old and New Testaments alike, that they should follow. When David was after God's own heart and said unto those who were after his son Absalom, deal gently with the young man for my sake. He was thinking in regard to maybe he would be converted. Maybe he would change his way of life. And of course, Absalom was a victim of Joab's decision. And Joab, as good as he was faithful to God's way and David's way at times, there's a way in which I see Joab as just a soldier, a vicious soldier, one who wanted to get the king's back, and he destroyed him. As he found him there, he was able to destroy him. And as a result, he did not deal gently with the young man. We can deal gently with others as we live in life and live that way for God's sake. When it is noted to us in Titus 3 at verse 2 that we're not to be people who are brawlers, but gentle, that we're to be people who care for others in that way. And notice that it says regarding the ways of life to have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives in Galatians 5:22. He says joy and peace and long-suffering. And then he says gentleness. Those other things, joy and peace and long-suffering, make the gentleness part that much more effective in the lives of people. So let's go that way of God's way, God's will, as we want to have the nature of God within our hearts and lives, to be the people teaching others and guiding others to the way that God would have us all to live. It'll help every family and every child within the family. It'll help every way for good and godliness' sake if we go that way in life. Thank you for your listening and study with us tonight. And as we sing this song of Who at the Door Standing, we remember that he is the gentle one who at the door does not force his way into our hearts. He knocks and awaits us to open the door from within. Let's stand together as we sing this good song.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door.
Kind Father in heaven, for those this evening who would partake of this bread and remember thy body bore our sins in his own body upon the cross. And for that we are most thankful. Help us to remember that it was not from us being so good, but from his willingness to take our sins in his own body upon the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Has everyone been served that wishes to be served tonight? Our kind and gracious Father, we're thankful, although it was necessary on your part to have blood in the plan, to be a full sacrifice, and to bear that in his own body and in his own blood to furnish the cleansing from our sins that could be done. Help us to remember that as we partake of it tonight in remembrance of till Jesus comes again, of that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.